Thanks for listening to this OCRFM podcast. Head to ocrfm.org.au to find more great content and information about how to donate and support this community radio station.
OCRFM wish to advise the following program may contain information and subjects that could be deemed controversial in nature. The aim of the show is to provide an opportunity for listeners to discuss issues in a non-confrontational, fact-based manner. Should you wish to join the conversation, please feel free to phone the station on 52321 9 1.
I wish to begin by acknowledging the Wadawurrung people of the Kulin Nations, the traditional owners of the land on which I am recording today's episode. We pay our respects to their ancestors and elders, past, present, and emerging. We recognise and respect their unique cultural heritage, beliefs, and relationship to their traditional lands, which continue to be important to them today and into the future.
You're listening to From Paddocks to Pride on OCRFM with myself, Sarah. This segment aims to help provide a voice for the LGBTIQ+ community, or as I like to call it, the umbrella. Our aim is to ensure the community is supported and to reinforce that you should feel accepted as you are in the town you grew up in. While my views are not representative of the whole community, extensive research has been done to aim to be inclusive to everybody and spread awareness and progress people's viewpoints.
News in our community.
So it's time for news in our community. And this one is funny because I was talking a couple of weeks ago about gay time, the ice cream and how, well, sorry, golden gay time, the ice cream, and how there was a bit of controversy and there was a lot of, there was a petition that went out that was saying we need to rename golden gay time, and a lot of people were like, who is this man? Does he exist? Is he real? Is this just something to create a little bit of hate? And as always, like, I love The Chaser. The Chaser put out some real, I love satire. And when it mocks other media outlets, I just love it. Because some of our media is just a little bit like, yeah. Anyway, I love The Chaser. This is not a sponsored post, obviously. Just my personal preference, you know? And they've actually used something from a few years ago, this fake profile that they created for, to out-like something. Anyway, what they've done is they've used that profile to start a petition to rename Fairy Bread. And then the media outlets have jumped on it and said, oh, this is outrageous. They're wanting to rename Fairy Bread, which is so funny because there's no actual, like, they haven't, in the petition, they haven't actually said anything from what I've read about anything to do with the queer community, just saying that it's outdated. So, yeah, fake news, but it was really quite funny that they jumped on this story and no one's actually checked the sources and realised it's a fake profile, and it just, it absolutely cracks me up. And I really love how, so there's a politician, Jonathan Davis, has put on Facebook and he's summed it up so well. It's like, things that LGBTIQA+ people don't like. So they don't like discrimination in accessing housing, non-consensual surgery on intersex children. We don't like discrimination in accessing healthcare. We don't like so-called conversion therapy. We don't like discrimination in the workplace and recruitment. We don't like the trauma associated with the divisive plebiscite. That's for sure. And we don't like losing friends and family when coming out. And we don't like the statistically, the there's a greater threat of violence. However, the things that we do like on a whole, so the majority of us, I feel confident in saying that, but don't quote me on it because, well, I haven't actually put out a survey or anything to find out, but, you know, it's pretty, yeah, pretty much like fairy bread, and we like golden gay times, and the fact that, oh, I love it. I love the chaser. When I saw that they'd done that, it just cracked me up, and yeah, it really highlighted the whole check your sources thing. And but yeah, also don't take one person's word for something, and the fact that fake profiles can be made so easily, and yeah, makes me wonder with petitions, like, how many of them are fake? I know when I've signed petitions, I think they're getting better with trying to make sure you're not a fake person. You have to use an email address and stuff, but I think it's pretty easy to make fake email addresses too, so anyway, please don't take that as a make fake surveys and fake petitions. That's not cool, but in this case it was, because that's hilarious. But anyway.
May I have your attention, please? May I have your attention, please?
So this week we've got some exciting news, some exciting events that are coming up. So we've got the Geelong Pride Film Festival. So obviously it only makes sense to have someone come on the show and talk all about it. So we've got Stephen, so his pronouns are he, him, and he's actually the festival's director. So that's pretty exciting. So he's got a lot to talk about and some exciting stuff. So thank you for coming on board.
Thanks so much for having me. It's great to be here.
Yeah. So do you want to tell us a little bit about how the festival started? Because you founded it, didn't you?
With a group of volunteers, who some of whom are still involved today. Back in 2017, I suppose even before that, for a number of years, I really looked to Melbourne and other cities like Bendigo with a bit of jealousy with their fantastic film festivals, and thought, wouldn't it be great? Well, actually, I was more along the lines of thinking, why don't we have something like this in Geelong? And after years of complaining, I decided the only way we're going to have a festival is if a group of us got together and did something about it. So I've been going to a lot of film festivals and had been thinking about it for a while, but in 2017, that's when we started to put the real work into establishing a festival here in Geelong. And we started off in 2017 with a one-off film screening. And really, the work that went into getting the film rights, booking the venue, selling the tickets, all of that, and building the profile for that one film screening really set the foundation for how would we expand this to a full festival. So we had our first festival then in 2018 at the Pivotonian Cinema here in Geelong, which is Geelong's independent cinema. And I suppose from then on, we've just grown and learned from each festival, and got a little bit bigger and expanded our programming and the diversity of the programming ever since then.
I actually really love the Pivotonian. Sorry, yeah. It's a really lovely cinema. I think it's because it's not super big. They've got the lift in there as well. If you can't walk up the stairs, I think it's, I don't know, I think it's a really lovely cinema. So I quite liked going there. I think I went in 2019. Yes.
Yep. Yep. Yeah, look, we love it there and we consider it the home of our festival, really. It's a beautiful cinema. It's very modern. It's got brilliant sound, and really nice, large, comfortable seating. But it's not huge. I think there are about 71 seats, and it's a great atmosphere when you get community along. You've got the whole place. We've got the whole place to ourselves, and everyone just has a chat, has a drink at the bar, you know, takes their drinks into the cinema, and just has a great time watching some films. So, yeah, we really, really appreciate our partnership with Cubertonian, and it's really allowed us to grow the festival. And, of course, we've also had screenings at other locations, particularly Platform Arts and the Platform Arts Centre in central Geelong in their theatre there. And this year we're partnering with MQFF for five of our feature films. So we've got nine feature films and 54 short films. And five of the feature films we're partnering with MQFF on their travelling showcase. And four of those films will be screening at Village Cinemas in Geelong for the first time this year. So that'll be something new for us as well.
Yeah, so that sounds like a really big thing, because how many people are you going to be able to get in there? It sounds like it'll be quite a lot.
Well, we had a choice there in what size cinema. I think we would be able to fit over 100, so 140. And now that actually there's a reduced, all the restrictions on the numbers of people or the density of people in cinemas has been lifted, we could have even more. But we are looking to still not sell the full amount of tickets, because I think it's nice to have a bit of space between between people in the cinema so that it's not fully packed out. But yeah, sure, there's certainly room for a lot of people in Village. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, that's a good point. I guess a lot of people still have a lot of COVID anxiety about being close to other people and that sort of thing.
So. Yeah, sure. Yeah, absolutely. And so we won't be selling out the full ticketing for any of our sessions. And yeah, look, it's been a little bit different this year. Certainly, last year was a huge huge challenge, but something that I think we really I think it really strengthened our organisation and our festival to have to go through the last minute cancellation of a festival that we worked so hard on. I mean, it sounds funny to say that, but it really did help us really come together, have stronger relationships with our sponsors and partners and our audience, because it was really important that we put the health and wellbeing of our audience number one, which is why we out ahead of a lot of other events we cancelled our festival. I think I knew I could see what was coming and really thought we've got to do the right thing here and cancel, and very glad that we did that proactively very early on. We could then start to plan and think, well, what is our next step? And luckily, much later in the year, October and November, we were able to stage our very first online festival. There was certainly a lot to learn about broadcasting a festival online and a lot of requirements for the Australian Classification Board in terms of getting an exemption to actually screen content online. And that was a really interesting process, just learning how to develop the content to host it on an online streaming platform. So, yeah, we're really happy that we learned that skill, because we're now going to build that into our festivals going forward.
Yeah, I was actually about to ask about lead into how COVID actually had some positives, because, yes, we can't have it, or we can, but because you're not having the same density limits as once before, but we're being able to stream, because I think the ability to actually access it online makes it a lot more accessible. So for those that perhaps might have a bit of social anxiety about being out in large crowds, or perhaps those that aren't actually out and want to be able to experience that from home, be able to stream the films, or even people that are remote, because at the end of the day, not everyone lives near a big regional centre or lives in the city. So it just makes it a little bit easier for everyone.
Absolutely. That's something that has been a huge positive for us, is to be able to expand our reach and actually be more accessible. As you said, some people would prefer not to come along to the cinema, particularly right now, and some people continue to want to access our films online, and sometimes people come to a couple of screenings and then also watch some at home.
Mm.
It's been a fantastic experience to be able to, you know, reach people in Shepparton, in Warrnambool, people all over Victoria, and even interstate. Some of our viewers have been on the online content, and just to be able to share, it was just great, so great to be able to share the films, particularly the short filmmakers whose work we were featuring last year. We were still able to feature those and the short film packages that we curated, because it was the first time that we had put together a series of curated short film packages. Previously, we partnered with MQFF on their Australian Shorts package, but we were very keen to develop our own specialised content there. So, for example, one of our ones, our signature shorts package, is called Happy Endings, and that's all films that have positive, uplifting or funny endings. So there's a lot of comedy shorts in there. We were getting some feedback from our audience, and also we recognised ourselves that for a lot of LGBTIQA plus film out there, there can be a lot of trauma in the films.
Mm.
And when you're programming content, we're really mindful that we want to tell everyone's stories, but we also want to have a lot of uplifting stories that celebrate the positives of being LGBTIQA+. And while, you know, there are really important stories that have traumas and you know, endings that are, you know, less than happy in some, you know, circumstances, we wanted to really focus on really uplifting stories. And I suppose I've been accused at times of seeing a happy ending where one doesn't exist, especially when I really want the characters to be, you know, it to be all right in the end.
Yeah.
I kind of make up my own mind, you know, well, these characters are going to go on and be better for this. I must admit, I love a positive, you know, outcome for films.
Yeah, I can definitely say that's one thing that I loved, was seeing the shorts, and in particular happy endings, because, yeah, there is this trope of the... I know in particular that when I was trying to research movies and stuff, that the queer characters would go through... Yeah, it wasn't very nice to watch and read up about and realise what some of the tropes were, and like how you'd have a lesbian character and they'd be killed off straight away sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Or
yep.
Yeah, even in just TV shows and stuff like that as well, and it's not great representation, I guess.
Yeah, and look, there's been a history of that in cinema, and really looking back to the United States and their Hayes morality code of what you could and couldn't show on in cinema, and if there was any depiction of homosexuality in the past, there was basically a requirement to show a negative outcome and consequences of being gay or being lesbian, and there was very little representation beyond that. As we've become more diverse and there's been more representation on screen, I think those conversations are evolving and evolving. So yeah, look, we love our Happy Ending Shorts package. We've also got a documentary shorts package, which has some great films from all around the world, including a young Western Australian student filmmaker, and this film called Nico is about a young trans man and his story of coming out and being accepted by his family and his school. And we chose this film for a festival before realising it was a student film, and then as we began to speak to the filmmaker, it became clear that this was their Year 12 film project as part of an assessment for the Year 12. So we were so thrilled that we could include their short film in our documentary shorts package. And in fact, they won our Student Filmmaker of the Year award this year for their short film. But there's other fantastic shorts in there, a short film about the tradition of the Bernesh in Albania, where families with only daughters sometimes, or for other reasons, the daughter would take on the male role and for all purposes would become male in the eyes of the community. And that's just a really interesting exploration of gender in another culture that was quite a traditional and conservative culture, but it's actually looking at gender in a completely different way than we think of it. First Nations films from Canada and the US. We've got a great package of documentaries, and the Happy Endings and the documentary short, they're on the 24th of April, so this coming Saturday, and we've still got plenty of tickets for those. And in fact, for your audience members, if you use the code HAPPY on our booking website, which is www.gpff.ferv.tickets, if you use the code HAPPY, you can get half-price tickets to both of those packages of short films.
Yeah, and I think it's great as well that it's giving small filmmakers a chance to actually get their works out there and seen. And, yeah, we can see the potential that younger people have and, yeah, see stuff from all over the world. So I think that's really, I don't know, I think it's a nice little mix. Sure.
Yeah, it's something that we, in our first years, we sort of focused on just the process of getting the feature films and the films from around the world and putting on the festival. And then as we've grown, it's really become more about, we're just as much about supporting filmmakers, local filmmakers and emerging filmmakers from around the world. And we've also, even from our very first festival, we've been supporting filmmakers through commissions and awards. So our screenplay commission has been something we've run each year for a screenplay commission where we provide $500 for a filmmaker's script to assist in the production of the film. This year's current filmmaker, Andrew Blogg, has used the funding for the completion of one of his short films that we'll be featuring in the festival next year. So, yeah, we've got a lot on in the program.
Do you want to talk a little bit about what the festival means to you as an individual?
Well, to me, it means a lot of things, really. But one of the important things for me is about seeing diverse representation on screen. I think it's really important for young people, old people, people of all ages, because we all have a different journey when it comes to ourselves, our sexuality, our gender, and how we view ourselves and how we share that with the outside world, our journey of coming out. And when you're going through that, whenever in life you're going through that, I think it really helps to have positive representation that you can look to. I know certainly when I was growing up and I knew I was gay, I was, you know, petrified on the inside. What does this mean? But then to be able to see representation, for me, not so much on, you know, as a teenager, not so much going to the cinema, but even television representation. And I think I've talked about this before in other settings around, you know, hiding yourself off in another room from your other siblings and family members to watch some of these shows that had some, you know, LGBTIQ+ characters, and just how that made me feel as a person to see, wow, this might be okay. This is fine. And then actually to see, you know, more examples of positive representation, it really does help give people confidence and really validates people. So, you know, the more and more we see diverse content on our screens and screens at the cinema, screens on your phone, screens on the television, I think the better it is for people to be able to go on their own journey of self-acceptance and love.
Yeah.
So that's what it means to me. And so that's when we have our judging panel who are reviewing films, and we've reviewed over 1,000 short films to put together the package of films for this festival. These are the kinds of stories that stand out for us. And one in particular I'd call out is from our Rainbow Shorts screening. It's a film called Leeway about a trans man. It's a short documentary. It's only a couple of minutes long, but it's just some really positive and affirming statements about what it means to accept yourself, what it means to love yourself and love all of you and who you are and your body and everything. And it's just such a powerful story for anyone. That's the kind of content I'm passionate about, and that's really what it means to me, is to have diverse representation on the screen.
Mm.
And yeah, it's really why we do the festival. You know, it's also about bringing community together and having a chance to meet people, have some fun and watch some great films. But it's more than that. It's about having our own festival. And also, I suppose, for me and for the community here in Geelong, it's about knowing I live in a city, I live in a town that has these kinds of events.
Mm.
And if you don't have these kinds of events, you feel a little bit isolated, like I live in a place where these things aren't accepted, and that may or may not be the case, and it probably isn't the case. But to have those events there, I just think it, even if you don't go along to them, I think it really increases your pride in your city and your place, knowing that these diverse LGBTIQ+ events are supported. And that's what's really stood out to our committee, is just how we've been embraced by the wider community of supporters and sponsors for the festival, and we wouldn't have been able to develop to where we are without those sort of foundation supporters.
You also did at the start talk about how a group of you got together to start this in Geelong because you're like, Bendigo has this, Melbourne has this. Have you used the other festivals as sort of like a help? Like, have they helped sort of create this festival? Like, have you used them for consultation?
Yes. So I used to go on fact-finding missions to Bendigo just for inspiration, and they were also great help in providing advice for the first year as well as we started up, and also particularly Melbourne Queer Film Festival and their festival, their programming director Spiros Economopoulos and their chief executive Maxwell Grattan, and well, their whole team really have been great as we've started up, and in our first years we partnered with them for the majority of content, and then each year we've expanded our exclusive programming up until now to this year's festival, which I suppose is our largest ever with in terms of programming, and we've got six short film packages. But it was, yeah, just really the passion of volunteers. So Laura Derrius, our vice president, and they were very instrumental in the early years of all. She was very much part of MQFF as it established and went from its early beginnings and established itself as an organisation. So she was involved in MQFF, and she's our vice president and has been brilliant in providing advice and guidance to the festival.
Mm-hmm.
We've got Dr. Chloe Benson, who has a background in film studies, specialising in film festivals and LGBTI film festivals in regional areas. So we couldn't be more pleased to have Chloe on our board and committee, and she takes a particular role in programming, and then our secretary and treasurer Andrew Coon has been on the committee of a lot of LGBTI organisations, including being a founding member of the Geelong Rainbow Inc. Committee and other bisexual groups in, mm-hmm. in Victoria. And then we've got a range of, we've just got, you know, passionate volunteers from all over. And we just had our induction yesterday for the festival for all our screening volunteers, the ones mm-hmm. that will help with tickets and ushering and, mm-hmm. And everything during the festival. And that's one of our favourite times of the year, really, is to come together as a group and work together to stage the festival. So there's a lot of work from a lot of people that goes into it.
Yeah, of course. Do you need any more volunteers? Or
yeah, we're always looking for, mm-hmm. for volunteers. And so you can contact us either via Facebook or via our email at geelongpridefilm@gmail.com.
Mm. So is that, so where else can people find further information about the movies, sorry, the films that are going to be screening in the shorts?
Well, they can find us online just by Googling Geelong Pride Film Festival, but our ticket site is gpff.ferv.tickets. That's gpff.ferv.tickets. Or on Facebook or Instagram, you'll be able to link to us as well. And you can buy all of the tickets there online, and you can also buy access to the online screening package. And yeah, just a reminder that all our online content, and that's the six short film packages, 54 films in total, and three feature films, they all have captions optional, so you can switch on captions for the films. And that's what we've been able to do this year with a grant from the Victorian Government Pride Festivals and Events Fund. We've been able to commission captions for all of our short films to make them more accessible. So that's been a huge exercise in itself, because a lot of the filmmakers have the captions, and we've been getting those and aligning them, getting them all on the online platform. But the ones that haven't had captions, we've had them commissioned, and so it's been great, actually, to be able to then provide all of this content with captions to make it more accessible.
Yeah, because I've actually started after my partner, she actually watches everything with captions. So now I've started doing it. I actually find it a lot easier, because sometimes you miss what they say, but it's written there. And yeah.
Absolutely. And in putting the captions together, I've realised how much I'm missing from content sometimes. Something that it's spoken too quickly for you to find out, or you just gloss over it and don't quite get it. It's been great. I mean, how have you? Is that what you found when you're watching with captions?
Yeah, I quite like it. Like, I don't think I'd go back. It makes it a lot easier, and I never would have thought of that, to be honest, until we start watching TV and stuff. I'm like, you've always got the captions on, and she's like, oh, you wait, and I'm like, okay, and yep, sure enough, she was right.
we've got a lot of films with subtitles anyway, because we've got films from all around the world. We've got films from Argentina and Panama. I've mentioned Albania. We've got quite a few great French films, Italian films. A real mixture. In fact, I think there are two or three films with no dialogue at all. There's sound in them, but there's no dialogue. They're very small short films. So yeah, just a whole range, including one which is sort of spoken word poetry, quite fast poetry, and that I must admit, it's great to turn on the captions for as well, just to get the, you know, the beauty of the poetry and the spoken word in more than just listening to it. So yeah, so that's been great as well.
Yeah, and that in itself, like you're saying, how there's films from all around the world, that in itself highlights how diverse our community is and how everyone, there's so many people from different cultures and races and everything, because sometimes I think people forget that it's not just like a Caucasian thing, because I've definitely experienced that where people don't realise just because they don't see it in a certain culture doesn't mean there aren't queer people. It's just they're not out. They're not comfortable, that sort of thing. So
yeah, that's right. We've got a few. It's a very diverse mix of short films and feature films this year. One of our online features, Breaking Fast, is about a gay Muslim man living in the United States, but it's a film set during Ramadan, which it's Ramadan at the moment, so the timing is quite good. And part of this film is really that culture clash about helping people understand different cultures and what it means to come out in different cultures, and that there's varying degrees of acceptance. And I suppose it's also that that intersection between religion and sexuality and gender. And we've had a few films exploring that with Christianity, but we're, you know, this is another film really exploring this from the perspective of a Muslim man, and we've also had a range of Jewish films as well, exploring the experience of being LGBTIQA plus and Judaism. So it's really good. We're really passionate about, you know, expanding the diversity of the festival, and it's something that we're always working towards as well. So we're really looking to represent all of the spectrum, and our Rainbow Shorts package is one that we look to, well, we all look to be diverse across every package, but the Rainbow Shorts one in particular, we try and be as diverse as possible there. We've got a great film there from the Netherlands called Girls Boys Mix, and that's a short documentary film from the perspective of a young intersex child. They relate their story of what it means to them to be intersex in a binary world that is becoming increasingly more accepting of everyone. And her story is just a beautiful exploration of being intersex. And that's built on last year and out, we had a package of short films celebrating elders. And we had a documentary by I've forgotten the director's name now, but it's an Australian film about an intersex man in Tasmania. And the way he tells his story, I think, is the most relatable way. I think we can put a link actually on that, because I think it's freely available now on our Facebook and website. But yeah, it's really about working towards being as diverse as we possibly can, and it just makes for a much richer festival of films to be able to bring them all together in these packages of short films.
Yeah, of course. So, well, do you want to remind listeners just where they can find tickets for this year's events?
It's gpff.ferv, that's ferve.tickets. So gpff.ferv.tickets. Otherwise, there's links from our Facebook or Instagram as well. Look, there's plenty of tickets on sale. We've got 15 different cinema screenings all coming up.
So it's time for a little bit of trivia. Are you ready, Stephen?
I am. I love a bit of trivia.
So, seeing as you're the director, you have a bit of knowledge in LGBTIQAI A-plus films, correct?
Oh, gosh, now I'm nervous. Yes.
Yeah. So this one's by a website, Fun Trivia. I've used them before. They have some good little trivia. So I've got a quiz called The Great Gay Films. Okay. Now, did you want it to be multiple choice? Or do you want to see how
I
you
think
can...
that might help.
Okay.
I think that might help. I think that would be good.
That's okay. We can do that. I can make that happen. So, the first one is...
If it's not already multiple choice, you don't have to make it multiple choice. That's fine.
That's all good. It is. I just wanted to see what level of difficulty you wanted it. So, the first one is a French film. So, Le Cage or Follies is about a gay couple, Albert and Renato, in Saint-Tropez, whose son is getting married. But the problem is the future father-in-law is a conservative politician. What is the name of the American version?
Ah, okay. I don't think I need the multiple choice for this one. That mm-hmm. one is The Birdcage with that has Robin Williams in it. That's a hilarious film. In fact, Gene Hackman plays the conservative politician. And
you didn't need any help. Yeah. That's more than correct. You've given me additional information that was on the screen, but that were hints, but you didn't even need them, so that's fine. In My Best Friend's Wedding, Julian, hears that her best friend is getting married and realizes she's in love with him. She decides to try and stop the wedding. Soon she enlists her gay friend George to help in the plot. Who plays George?
Oh, now George is played by, of course, Rupert Everett. And Rupert Everett is... a gay actor, so that's a gay actor in a gay role, which is what we do like to see that. Rupert Everett, and also there's an Australian actress in, I think it's, well, no, I'm not going to, I know that there's Australian actors in My Best Friend's Wedding as well, but I reckon Rupert Everett.
Yes, it definitely is. And I actually really love to hear that because I find that some of the films and TV shows that actually have queer actors and actresses and everything in it, there's more consultation. So I find that there's more, I guess, actual input that's like, well, that's not quite right, that sort of thing. And you get a bit more, I don't know, quality films. That's my opinion, but... So the next question is, two friends, Rupert and Abby, end up in bed together and a child is created. The problem is that Rupert is gay and cannot promise anything, but they decide to raise the child together. This is successful until Abby finds a new straight boyfriend and wants to move in with him to another town and take the child with her. A bitter legal battle begins. What is the name of the film?
Oh, then now this is about the best. It's like the next best thing, or the.
Yep, that's it.
Yep.
The next best thing. Okay, so this is a film about Fashion Week in Paris, with an all-star cast with such actors as Julia Roberts, Sophia Loren, and Rupert Everett. So, what's the American title of it?
I only know this one as Prêt-à-Porter. I don't know what the American the American title would be.
It's just Fashion Week.
I would have said Ready to Wear, but it would. So, what's the American title of that one?
Maybe I wrote it down wrong. I thought it was Fashion Week. I could be wrong.
No, that would be right, but I think we had it here as Prêt-à-Porter.
Yeah, so that's the Paris. Oh, no, sorry, you are correct. It is ready to wear. I just wrote it down wrong. Yes, so it is. But, yeah, you also got the Paris.
I have only ever seen that one as prêt-à-porter, so that would only be, yeah.
Hmm. Yep. There we go. So in Beautiful Thing, two neighbour boys fall in love and okay, that's written poorly, sorry. So fall in love and start a relationship. In the film, there is also a girl who is the fan of a famous singer. I want the name of this singer.
Now, this is a really tough question if we didn't have this film as our very first film screening. So back in 2017, I mentioned we had the one film screening. So Beautiful Thing was our very first film. So I'm glad that that's in the quiz. And, yeah, it's a that is their best friend is obsessed with the Mamas and the Papas, and in particular Mama Cass.
Yes.
And so the answer is Mama Cass. But that's a fantastic film and was one that was sort of really one of the first gay films that really stuck with me growing up. So, I think it was 1996 that film, because we did a sort of a special anniversary screening of that. Mama Cass. If that's out there on streaming services or people have access to that, I really recommend Beautiful Thing. It's a great film.
Yeah. So the next one is a group of English unemployed blue-collar men decide to make the big buck stripping. During the rehearsal, two of the men find each other. What is the name of the film?
Oh, this is The Full Monty.
Yes. Yep.
Definitely. I love the soundtrack in the Full Monty. It's great.
Next question. Three women. So the first is a famous English writer writing one of her famous books. Then there is a mother in the 50s who prepares her husband's birthday surprise. The last woman is a publisher who plans a party for her AIDS sick prize-winning friend. What is the name of the film?
Now this one's The Hours, definitely with Julianne Moore, Meryl Streep, Nicole Kidman. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's definitely that one, The Hours. Yep, yep. Another great film.
Yeah, and the next one is an AIDS sick man finds out that he will soon die. Instead of trying to fight the illness, he decides to end his own life on his own terms. He holds a last party to say goodbye to his friends and family.
Oh, now I think I've seen this one. You will get me here on the name of this one. I don't know. The name of it? Does it star Dermot Mulroney? I don't know.
There's Olivia Newton-John.
I'm not going to get that one. So you'll have to tell me that one, but I'm going to go back and see if I can find it and watch it.
Yeah. So there's Olivia Newton-John. There's Eric Roberts and Margaret Chow in it, and it's called "It's My Party."
Yep. What's it called?
"It's My Party."
Yep. Yep. Yep, that's actually not the one I was thinking of. I think I was thinking of another one that's got a similar plot.
Now, because you didn't actually need any multiple choice, I'm not sure it's worth me even asking this question because you'll know the answer, but look, I'll say it anyway. Okay, so three Sydney drag queens get a job in Alice Springs. Adam, without consulting the other two drag queens, buys an old school bus, now turned to a holiday van. Now, they only have to find their way through the desert. What is the name of the film?
Priscilla, Queen of the Desert. I remember going to see this film just as I was coming out with my whole family. We all went to see Priscilla, Queen of the Desert in the cinema. And I'm one of six kids, so it was a big family outing to see Priscilla, I remember. Australian classic performances. in that one, and my sister and I still repeat lines from that one. So yeah, no, another classic.
It certainly is. So yeah, you definitely didn't need any multiple choice. You did an amazing job. So, we've been talking about the Geelong Pride Film Festival, and it's time to talk about events. So, what else would I mention? Like, obviously, we've got the Geelong Pride Film Festival coming up next weekend. Thursday. It's opening up, and they've got their initial screening of Supernova, and yeah. Stephen's done a great job of reminding us what, well, I've prodded him to remind us what website to check out to actually get some tickets, and I might see people there. So if you see me, give me a holler, say hey. I'm really looking forward to it. I love a good excuse to go to the movies and eat popcorn and soft drink, which aren't good for me, but that's okay, because obviously you got to have like heaps of salt on all the unhealthy stuff on the popcorn, but that's okay. And also, just as a little reminder, Ballarat Frolic Festival has their Dark Rainbow events coming up, so definitely check that out. Head to their Facebook page or go onto their website. So if you Google Ballarat Frolic Festival, you'll be able to find that. And yeah. And that's a wrap for this week's on From Paddocks to Pride on OCRFM. So thank you so much for coming along, Stephen, and talking about the Geelong Pride Film Festival. And can you just remind our listeners where to buy some tickets?
Yeah, sure. That's gpff.ferv.tickets. And remember the special discount code of HAPPY for the Happy Ending shorts and the documentary shorts to get half price tickets. And hopefully we'll see some of you there.
So that's the end of this week's From Paddocks to Pride episode. If you'd like to follow us on Facebook, it's From Paddocks to Pride. On Instagram, we're from_paddocks_to_pride. If you'd like to listen live, you can listen live 98.3 FM Colacan District or 88.7 FM along the coast, or stream us online at ocrfm.org.au. As our live episodes are actually slightly different to our podcast. So maybe check it out and see what one you prefer. And let us know, do you prefer our podcast version or our live radio? Let us know. It'd be really curious. You can also contact us via email, pride@ocrfm.org.au. We also have a YouTube account. We haven't actually added anything to it yet, but once we do, we'll update you and we'll let you know. So once again, thank you for listening to this week's podcast. And so see you later. Or if you're listening to one of our older podcasts, just click on one of the newer ones and listen to some of our newer content.